Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, December 21st, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules on UCY.TV. Happy Wednesday, everyone. It is a decent 34 degrees and very cloudy here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Brain Initiative, 21st Century Cures, Mind Tinkering, and Neural Implants. And we've been talking about 21st Century Cures and the brain for quite a while now. I would have to say at least a week or a week and a half. But what people need to realize, and I know you're tired of it by now, but it is so important, is they've just authorized by law surveillance of quote unquote neurological diseases. And one of the things that we have discovered is that neurological diseases come in all kinds of shapes, sizes, colors. I mean, every time we read a new story, oh, it's dementia. Well, it's Alzheimer's. It's dementia, the more general term. It is autism. It is psychosis, more general. It is PTSD. It is bipolar disorder. It's depression. Hey, who doesn't get depressed every once in a while? So we have these quote-unquote neurological diseases that good old Tommy Incel's talking about chucking out that DSM to be able to have more quantitative ways of identifying the disease versus just looking at a list of symptoms. Well, here comes Dr. Smartphone, AI, and our smart devices sucking us into that machine, and they can do all kinds of things. They can look at our facial makeup, they can look at the points on our ears and determine if our genetic progeny would statistically predispose us to being potential future criminals, right? That's an Israeli company that can determine by the genetic makeup of your face whether or not you have traits that show that statistically you could have some issues upstairs. They may not agree with the state. You could be a thought criminal. You could be a gambler. You could be a genius. We read all those things. But they've gone even steps further. So we found out they are now doing all kinds of experimentation. There has been $6.3 billion. It's like the lotto that was inked as part of the 21st Century Cures Act. But even before that, we've been covering this stuff for quite a number of years now. I think Before the First Cup is at over 430 shows now on YouTube. And remember, that was a good year or a year and a half that I wasn't archiving them on YouTube. I was just doing them on MP3 on my desktop. So there probably are a good 500 or 600 shows. I don't know, maybe 500 shows. You know, we've been talking about this for a long time, okay? And it has been progressively getting more and more invasive. This merging of man and the machine was always Kurzweil's wet dream. And when Kurzweil went over to Google back in, I think it was 2015, as a director of engineering, we also had Regina Duggan. She was the DARPA component. Then, of course, Google. Google, whose tagline back in the 90s was, Google is not evil. You know, we should have known right then and there. But when they first all came together, I thought to myself, and I think I even said it on this show, it is the unholy trinity that has appeared. I had always, always, always had my eye on Kurzweil. Kurzweil was talking crazy shit over there in the corner. And, you know, they used to pull him out for parties and use it for the potential George Jetson future telling stories for the tech industry. You know, he'd talk about nanobots in your blood and connecting your neocortex to the cloud. But no one ever thought, no one ever took Unky Ray seriously enough that they thought that he would have an impact. But once he was hired on at Google, he came out and did the first interview, and I remember when I saw it, and I was like, oh, my. And he said he basically had an unlimited budget. Well, when you have two groups such as DARPA, and we're going to dig into some of DARPA's history, I think, one of these days soon, because I talk about them almost every day. They come up in our conversations because of the sprinkle funding that they do all over. They are the seeders. And see, I, in the very beginning, was mistaken to think that DARPA had all these mad research labs that they were doing this mad science gone mad in. But we found out, no, that isn't how that works. See, they are federal. They're part of the Department of Defense. They are a federal agency. They go to that FBO.gov, the Federal Opportunities website, and they put out an RFP, a request for proposal. When they have some cockamamie idea that they want to find somebody out there, some company, some scientist, some group who wants to help them build the next Frankenstein. So they've done this time and time again. And, you know, this week it happens to be at that university. And next week it happens to be at that hospital. But they have managed to sprinkle their evil tentacles. And I know some people think DARPA's not evil. I think DARPA puts the cart before the horse and looks at things in a way, because it is the Department of Defense, looks at things in a way that might not be in the best interest for you or Nana or Janie, Joey, Johnny, Lisa, Sally. It's not in the interest of our children. It's in the interest of the military-industrial complex. It's in the interest of being able to imperialize the planet. It's in the interest of being able to take out our enemies with the least amount of effort possible, keeping the cost down and making the most profit. That's what it's about. It's across the board that way, not just for national defense, but of course they have now spun healthcare, medicine into this national security initiative with Obama's executive order back on November 4th about the global health security agenda. I mean, he spun that out to talk about, you know, how dangerous it is now that we have all these diseases. We've seen Clapper come out and talk about CRISPR as a WMD. They can splice and dice at the most minuscule levels and create life on the fly. The DARPA lady pushing a button. Create life with all the traits that we want. Just bzing. We'll terraform Mars. This is all reality, people. So now they're going after the brain. Because people like you and me are starting to back up, and even people, and I'm telling you, I've been squawking about this stuff for probably 25 years. I was always one of those party favors when people got me at a party. They get a couple beers of me, and then they start asking me questions. And it'd be like an episode of Before the First Cup at the party, because I get twisted up. And there's just all this stuff that I've gathered in my brain over the years in my mad science research. Because I don't know, this is like such my red button issue. Is technology merging with biology? This is something that I never thought I would really see. You know, though we had always kind of looked at dystopian literature and movies and saw they were warning us of this from way, way, way back. The takeover of the Silicon. It's really happening. And I don't think I ever really imagined for real that it would be in my lifetime that I would be seeing this. But here I am sitting in this chair that makes my butt hurt. By the way, guys, for Christmas, every year we do, you know, I don't know, we don't buy each other a lot of Christmas gifts. But every year we buy ourselves something, you know, because who knows what somebody else wants. So I had a chair that has been sitting in my bookmark bar, and I mean like right in the taskbar, in the dead center, called Massaging Black Leather Chair and Footstool. And I got to tell you, I have to sit a lot for this job. So either I get one of those standing desks, which would really kind of suck, or I get myself a nice massaging chair that'll make my butt feel better and my legs. So anyway, I ordered myself a massaging leather chair and footstool yesterday for Christmas. And I will accept that as a Merry Christmas from everyone. You guys will hear me here by Sunday. Monday, I'll have the chair all heating up. Bzz. You know, years ago, I would have to say probably 20 years ago, I bought one of those massager things that hang over your office chair. And it had the, this is a really nice one, I thought. It had the lower lumbar, had the upper underside of the legs, and then the backside of the legs where they go in the chair. The problem is those little massager things that are inside the chair are like rectangular blocks of metal. And they're positioned as such that they seem to cause more problems than the heat and the massage remedy. So I'm crossing my fingers that this chair will be a little bit different than my $29 seat massager. I don't know, guys. It's hard. I have to tell you that being here every day with the holidays, by the way, I'm going to warn everyone, the holidays are here. And I warned you last week that, yes, I have been breaking my back working on some projects that have been sitting for a long time. I mean, I had all these little painting projects, not huge, but, you know, baseboards. I want to get all the baseboards done in the bathroom. I wanted to get them all done in this back hallway. We had all kinds of stuff we wanted to move around. So I have a new little desk area downstairs that makes me very happy with a filing cabinet so I can get all my shit organized again. So I'm really happy about that. But I had all this painting to do. I painted the old desk. I redid the walls in that corner. I did an old cabinet I painted in the dining room that looks really good. So getting everything ready for Christmas. But here's the thing. Christmas this year is Sunday. Christmas Eve is Saturday. My guests, my family, will probably be arriving either Friday night or Saturday late morning, early afternoon. And I live here with two people who don't make cleanliness as much of a priority as I do. So it ends up being pretty one-sided here most of the time. And school concert tonight, show today. I got to start cutting everything for the weekend, for the holiday, which I don't even know how I'm going to do because we have all this cleaning to do. So I just might accept a Christmas present from you guys, and that is going to be to give me Thursday and Friday off from doing Before the First Cup so I can get my stuff done without like feeling like I'm going to have a stroke or drop dead. So anyway, all right, so let's get back to this. Sorry, I had to get that off my mind. So this will be, we're going to wrap this up today. I'm going to whip through some stuff, and we are going to get to where we can set the stage for next week. So we talked about the 21st Century Cures Act now going full balls out. It's become a law. We have this whole section, that S399S, Surveillance of Neurological Diseases. We have that act that had passed the House and is in the Senate. It had been the Alzheimer's Wandering Bill or something. And now they have changed it to the, I don't remember even what it was called, something like the Wandering Americans Act. They can literally now, if your family believes that it is necessary, put against your will a tracking device on you in order to keep you safe. That's where it's come to at this point. And as we have this changing of the guards, that, though he said things that have convinced me at one point in time that he may have been the least of two evils, I definitely was in the not Hillary camp. He frightens me with some of the things that he talks about. I mean, I do have to agree that there is a lot more danger out there in the world. Not because it just appeared organically. I mean, We've had some shady characters in the background that have been prompting and prodding this along for the last 25, 30, 50 years. Stirring up the pot. Flicking the chess pieces. Flick. When he's not looking. To mess things up a little. Arming rebels. Accidentally having mass prison breaks across the Middle East. If you remember that one. I don't remember what was going on at the time. Maybe it was Osama bin Laden. Wink. When we said we found him. Right around that time, there had been a big roundup of quote-unquote terrorists that were all in all these different secret prisons that have been tortured under the guise of Bush. Once there was a changing in the guard, and I'm pretty sure it's when Obama said they found bin Laden. And I remember that very distinctly because it was like, oh, he'd gotten his peace prize underneath the blue spiral in Norway. And it didn't happen at the same time, but it was the same damn day that that happened when he got his peace prize. That blue spiral appeared. But after Obama said he was going to end all these wars and clean up the Bush carnage, he just continued the wars. But he said he caught Osama bin Laden. Terrorism was dead. Oh, look, we found his porn collection. And oh my goodness, at all these black ops prisons across the Middle East, we had this massive prison break of all these guys who had been caught up in sweeps, and we don't even know if they were guilty, but we pissed on them and did all kinds of horrifying things with broom handles. And then, in the middle of the night, we, whoops, accidentally left the locks open. I mean, who knows if that's what happened. But I'm telling you, it was beyond suspicious because they were told to go for Turkey and Jordan. There were guns waiting there for them that all had been funneled out of Libya. And there were CIA agents waiting there for them, all waiting to do a training session to show them how to use the new firearms. I don't know, maybe those firearms were even the Russian guns. Found out there was an old trick that we used to play when we did psyops and we armed rebels. We used to use Russian guns, so then they couldn't tell if it was us or the Russians. But anyway, so all that stuff happened way in the background, and now we have this growth. Now it mutated like a cancer. We pissed them off so bad. We stirred up so much shit. We blew up so many countries. And now they are radicalized beyond control. Now we have this mantra, not only about terror, 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 because that started to get a little old. People didn't even want to hear terror anymore. They even got rid of that terror color alert thing because nobody paid attention, if you remember. Too many yellows, too many, the sky is falling. Too many crime wolf. Nobody wanted to pay attention anymore, so they had to turn up the heat. So now they turned up the heat. Now we had terror in the United States. We have terror everywhere. There are terrorists under every bed. Those self-radicalized internet terrorists. We have our teenagers turning into terrorists. We have immigrants turning into terrorists. Soon we're going to have Nana turning into terrorists. Oh, wait, we have right-wingers turning into terrorists. And now we have that pesky alternative media, that fake news. That fake news is financed by Russia. Russia that's stirring up trouble in the Middle East. Russia that's standing against us in Syria. We want to imperialize. They want to try to help Assad keep his country together, whatever little crumbles are left of it. But those fake newsers are now the enemy. Those fake newsers are the ones that are responsible for Trump getting into office. Those fake newsers were really trying to play some mind mojo on you. Go to Snopes.com. Fact check it. They are selling this complete reversed psyop on the American people. Now, the interesting part is people overseas, people in Europe, people in the Middle East, most certainly see that those of us that are standing up on this side of the pond have credence to what we're saying. Then we have the talking heads that come out in pantsuits, different color for a different day, telling us what they want us to see. And I hate to tell you guys, but this changing of the guard isn't going to change anything. We saw with Trump being elected, biotech stocks went off the hook. Disruptive technologies are the place to invest your money for the 21st century. That long list that we focus our attention on: artificial intelligence, the brain initiative, any type of implantable CRISPR technology, DNA-based sequencing, drug development, self-driving cars, automated anything, deep learning, it's all coming. So regardless of who is in that throne, we are going to be faced with a time that I don't think has ever happened before, at least in documented history. We are going to have this megalomania, this paranoia. We are going to start pointing fingers and trying to demonize other groups as being responsible, all in the name of keeping you safe. This isn't the boogeyman anymore. Now they are trying to find physical boogeyman men. And the 21st Century Cures Act gives them a way to now monitor these boogeymen. It doesn't talk about some of the things that they want to apply this to, because this is very general for neurological conditions. But oppositional defiant disorder is already a neurological condition in the DSM. And if they can start diagnosing people via their voice patterns in their smartphones, there may already be some sort of operation, since we know NSA. NSA is the top of that rotten cherry. They've gotten big and powerful. Wired Magazine, Keith Alexander expose. He talked about all those divisions. It is all now a part of the Department of Defense. He has tentacles in every division of the military and hacking the United States, internet crime, can all be considered an act of war. Can all get you under the eye of Sauron to be monitored, bagged, and tagged. So as they spin this out now, they now have all these great new treatments. There is money falling from the sky. This is like the second coming of the tech boom like we saw in the mid-90s. Scientists have come up with all kinds of new implantables and all kinds of new mad science gone mad experimentation. We read about poor little monkeys and poor little mousies yesterday. The mice, they were able to wirelessly control their behavior with a joystick. And they are able to implant memories, we found out. How long is it going to be before they can start diagnosing us with even depression and make all those bad thoughts go away? Now, I was digging into some stuff yesterday and some of the patent applications that are out there, and I found one out of a California college. I don't remember which university it was. that it talked about using different frequencies, because I had mentioned this the other day, through the orbital frontal cortex, which is the eyeball. We talked about that too. Right where Google has those little Google contact lenses. I told you, don't ever put any of this technology in your eye. But they're able to focus radio frequencies into the orbital frontal cortex, which they discovered looking at mousies, or I think these were monkeys, actually, that had little probes stuck in their heads. That's where the decision-making process happens. It's where the emotions are as well. Remember, we are swayed by our emotions when making decisions, which makes humans imperfect, which is going to set the stage for the future of AI and government. And if we make it there, I don't know if I'm going to make it there by the end of this show, but we have to, because I've lost these tabs about 5 times and had to manually recover them all. But listen, we are at a point now where they can literally manipulate our brain. That brain initiative, of course, is all in the name of curing you, curing Nana, curing Johnny. The bigger picture of this initiative is precision medicine, which is funded by the 21st Century Cures Act. Precision medicine has already been on the plate as a hot item, but it is now ready to be turned up on high and served. 21st Century Cures Act gets that pesky FDA out of the way so they don't have to do any of that quote-unquote rigorous testing that they've done in the past. And it can go direct to consumer if you are desperate enough to step right up and want a last chance at trying to live longer. So check this out. Not only can they implant memories and implant implants, we looked at all kinds of neural stimulation and tiny microcoils with magnetic fields, electronic pumps to mimic neural signaling that happens almost as fast as neural signaling in the human brain, and that saran wrap stuff that they can put around your brain when they crack your head open to do some sort of partial lobotomy for drug-resistant epilepsy patients. I mean, pretty horrifying things, but listen to this. Not only can they use AI to read your micro-expressions on your face and tell whether or not you got a twitchy eyeball, tell every time you're not telling the truth or hiding information, but they also have a new technology, and this is from September 23rd, and we must have missed this one when it came out. New technology that uses Wi-Fi, and Wi-Fi is ubiquitous, to read your inner emotions accurately and from afar. Ding, ding. Now, we read a story a while back about them teaching artificial intelligence to be able to read our emotions. And they were trying to teach them to feel love. They wanted to make them more human, or at least allow them to react to us. You may have the best poker face in the world, and you may choose to keep your feelings close because you consider your emotions nobody's business but your own. Yes, and that last bastion of freedom called the brain. But maybe you don't think it's smart to give too much away, no matter. A team of researchers has developed a system that can read your hidden excitement, happiness, anger, or sadness with or without your cooperation. And I'm going to tell you, I keep seeing that more and more in these stories. With or without your cooperation, whether or not you want that tracking device, with or without your permission. And one of those line items in the 21st Century Cures Act table of contents was about giving up informed consent as part of clinical trials. Guys, this is looking very frightening for our future. And anyone who tra-la-la's along, following this dangling carrot, this promise of curing you, of course they went after the big C. The Big C can be cured with legions of nanobots in your blood. I mean, I post that link all the time when I talk about the nanobots, but I mean, that was a real title from a real publication, not a fake news. Called Legions of Nanobots to Target Cancer. So anyway, back to this. Don't worry about it. We can see your hidden excitement, happiness, anger, sadness, with or without your cooperation. It is called EQ Radio, and its creation is of MIT, of course, Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory. They claim it is accurate right now at 87% of the time, and it reads your feelings by bouncing ordinary Wi-Fi signals that can track your heart rate. There are no on-skin sensors involved at all with EQ Radio. And since we have Wi-Fi everywhere, and even in cities they have like Munify, they call it, or municipal ubiquitous wireless internet, guys, there's no escaping any of this grid now. It is multi-layered, multifaceted. Remember we talked about those millimeter wave scanners? They can find out. I mean, this is talking atomic level. They can find out by a few molecules on your lip what you had for breakfast. You know, no more using cameras to determine whether or not you are one of those 32 things on that terrorist watch list. Are you looking sweaty, Johnny? You looking nervous? You looking at your watch? I mean, this is really insane. Wi-Fi is a two-way form of communication, and your router carries internet data to your laptop, which then transmits the data back to the router en route to the internet. And an EQ radio measures the speed at which the data completes a round trip to its target. For example, you would be the target in this case. Remember, we are all going to become a node on that Internet of Things. And then it analyzes your fluctuations in the speed to measure your heart rate. And it is your heart rate that gives away your emotional state. Ding, ding, ding. The correlation of heartbeat to emotion in each person is unique to some extent, but MIT says that they can accurately assess the emotional state even of people they've never before studied 70% of the time. Ming-Min Zhao on the MIT team told MIT News, "Just by knowing how people breathe and how their hearts beat in different emotional states, we can look at a random person's heartbeat and reliably detect their emotions." One of the challenges the team faced was filtering out extraneous noise, such as breath sounds, to clearly detect the heart rate. And bear in mind that it's not audio that EQ Radio has to analyze, but instead the data that reflects the speed of the Wi-Fi bounce back. So, quote-unquote noise refers to irrelevant data, not the actual sound of, say, your breath. And they are able to measure your heart rate with about a 0.3% margin of error, and that is remarkable. It is as good as an ECG monitor. Now, is that not insane? So, surprise, we have been allowing surveillance devices, i.e. our wireless routers, into our houses for a very long time. We have used taxpayer dollars to fund them in our schools and in our libraries. And now it's like a Trojan horse that's in all of our homes. And remember, there's a lot of Trojan horses in our homes. Our phones for many years, even back in the 70s, were surveillance devices. I had heard about some things through the grapevine when I was a kid about vans at the end of streets and being able to open up the microphone on your phone and have it as a tap. I knew people who were into phone freaking, remember, back in those days. I mean, it was very possible. We had a few friends who at one point or another may have been a target. I'm just saying that this technology, this surveillance stuff is not brand new. At least in my whole lifetime, it has been going on. All you had to do was to become a target. But it's not like that anymore. We are all targets. This is why I was bringing up this terrorism and Osama bin Laden. We've all become Osama bin Ladens now. The boogeyman. He was a good boogeyman. You know, actually, that was something I saw a few years ago. One of the action figure companies, and actually I think it might have even been the CIA, had released an Osama bin Laden action figure. And there were only a small number that had ended up making it to the web. But I don't think you can buy one anymore. But I bet you one of those would be worth a bazillion dollars if you could ever find an Osama bin Laden action figure at a garage sale. All right, anyway, this EQ radio software is based on previous work in the lab, and it has been done using Wi-Fi to detect human movement. And way back when, we had talked about that, where they literally can see through walls and detect where people are in a room by just using your Wi-Fi signal. The goal of the earlier work was to use Wi-Fi in smart homes. They could do things like control heat and lighting based on your location and detect if an elderly person has fallen. Of course, it's for Nana safety. It's also seen as having potential for animation motion capture in films, and that would be when they overlay. Let's say somebody is playing a part and they overlay then the animation. The junction of that earlier project in EQ Radio was the exploration of more accurate health tracking wearable devices. Ding, 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 ding. So here it comes, people. I told you it was going to be our smartphones, and Dr. Smartphone is coming 2017. Then it was going to be the wearables. And we already found out they got that ECG wristwatch we read about the other day that can detect your emotions as well, utilizing your heart rate. Well, now you don't even need a wearable device because it is ubiquitous. You don't even have to think about it. It's easy and convenient, and it can pipe all the data back to your doctor or intelligence agency. The possible uses of EQ radio. There are a number of obvious applications, such as far more accurate test screenings and focus groups for ad agencies and film studios, of course. It's all about the marketing perspective. Number two, smart homes that can adjust their lighting and environmental conditions to match or help you out of your mood. Johnny, you look depressed. Your heartbeat is saying you are depressed. Here, let's give you some happy music at 267 hertz and some bright lighting and some aromatherapy of lavender, and you will feel much better. Number three, smart hotels that could continuously customize a guest's environment according to their mood. That would be kind of freaky. To have like a room or an environment be able to detect your mood and change accordingly is quite disturbing. But here we go, people. This is what I've been saying, and this is the proof in the pudding. Number four, non-invasive, ding, healthcare and psychiatric monitoring with office or home installed systems. Ding, ding. I wish I had a bell. Non-invasive healthcare and psychiatric monitoring with office or home installed systems. It is coming. This was the proof right here. This, we read it, it's part of the law. Surveillance of neurological diseases and non-invasive tracking devices that they're going to give law enforcement and your doctor and your family members access to. We got rid of some of those pesky HIPAA laws. Your doctor can now report you by name if they have a concern. Number five, don't worry about that one with the psychiatric monitoring. Number five, we could use it for directed advertising. based on an assessment of the buyer's mood. And hey, number six, after we added that one in there, we can use it for interrogations. Ding, ding, ding. So couple that with the AI micro expression reading that had a super high accuracy to be able to tell whether or not you're hiding information by scanning your face real time. Couple that with that tool we read about yesterday with those mock monkeys, where they were actually scanning the orbital frontal cortex that's connected directly to your eye. So here, Johnny, look into this lens, and we're going to ask you questions while we're focusing the camera on your face, and we're scanning your eyeballs. We're going to ask you some questions. You're going to put the skull cap on as well so we can read your thoughts, because they have that now as well. Hopefully, EQ Radio won't turn up as a downloaded app on personal devices that lets you quote-unquote read the emotions of people around you. That's pretty crazy. And when EQ Radio moves beyond its current laboratory setting, there will be, of course, obvious privacy concerns. Do you have the right to keep your feelings to yourself? I would say hell yeah. And if you're in a public place, say a hospital or a theater, ding, 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 mass shootings, where an EQ radio system is in operation, will a signed release form from you be required before your emotional state can be tracked? Would you have to give police permission to monitor your feelings during an investigation? Or could you refuse, as you can on a polygraph test? Could an authoritarian government, like the one that is coming into the throne, read its citizenry at will? And will this become a standard tool to anti-terrorism authorities? Ding, da, 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 ding. I mean, in your public coffee shops, in the malls, in the doctor's offices, in our homes, and just about everywhere, we have some sort of a Wi-Fi, or if not, a cellular signal. Soon to be all of planet Earth, as Google and Facebook and all the others are working on their global 5G satellite / drone skybender network. It may be the right to private emotion is the next personal freedom, and it remains to be seen whether or not we will be asked to surrender it. Welcome to the future. Again, bing, 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 ding. All right, so then we find out, this again was from June. I think this one was from June as well. Hold on. Bing, 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 bing. That was from September. This one was from June 2016. Scientists have invented a mind-reading machine that visualizes your thoughts. We can take someone's memory and pull it out from their brains. If you think your mind is the only safe place left for all your secrets, think again, because scientists are making real steps toward reading your thoughts and putting them on a screen for everyone to see. Now, how horrifying can this possibly be? Is this going to be the new reality television targeting real time somebody who could be a potential terrorist and then televising their thoughts as they're reading them in real time? I mean, I see that. That's almost like a running man on steroids. Put you in a room in front of a large jury to be tried before you've even done anything, because they have determined by your Wi-Fi EQ radio scan and your Israeli facial scan that you have a genetic propensity for being a potential terrorist or problem person. And the disturbingly accurate, we read about this, brain science that identifies potential criminals while they are 3 years old. Where is this going to leave us in the future? Where is this going to leave our children? And then add to that the changing of the guards with somebody who I don't think is going to be working in our best interests. It is all going to be about fear. It is all going to be about teaching us that there's a boogeyman, and that boogeyman could be anybody. Don't trust those around you. Don't trust that alternative media that is trying to wake you up from your brainwashing that has been fed to you through the television and the newspaper and the broadcasting board of governors. The State Department was made legal as part of that NDAA 2013. And then now there is that new Countering Disinformation and Propaganda Act that passed the Senate. It's coming, people. It is a war, not only on what is true and not true, but it's a war psychologically on our brains. And they have now upped the ante. They have tools that we only dreamed about in science fiction novels that are now in development, in use, out there, and funded by lots of venture capitalists who are all ready to get rich. Biotech companies who've all been able to erase that R&D line item budget and were handed a Christmas gift by the inking of the 21st Century Cures Act. Human experimentation is now no longer an ethical concern because you're going to get rid of that informed consent and step right up for that last chance to save Nana. A team from this University of Oregon has built a system that can read people's thoughts via brain scans and reconstruct the faces they were visualizing in their heads. And you'll soon see that the results were pretty damn creepy. We can take someone's memory, which is typically an internal and private thing, and we can pull it out from their brains, says one of the team, neuroscientist Bryce Kuhl, K-U-H-L. And here's how it works. Researchers selected 23 volunteers and compiled a set of 1,000 color photos from random people's faces. And volunteers were shown these pictures while hooked up to an fMRI, which detects subtle changes in the blood flow of the brain to measure the neurological activity. This first phase of training was a training session for the AI that was back-ending this, and it needed to learn how certain bursts of neurological activity correlated to certain physical features on the faces. And once the AI had formed enough brain activity face code matchup, the team started phase two of the experiment. This time, the AI was hooked up to the fMRI machine and had to figure out what the faces looked like based only on the participant's brain activity. And all the faces shown the participant in this round were completely different from the previous round. So, the machine managed to reconstruct faces based on activity from two separate regions in the brain. The angular gyrus, and if you remember when we read this before, I'd never heard of the angular gyrus, which is involved in a number of processes related to language, number processing, spatial awareness, and I'm sure it's the spatial awareness for the facial features, and the formation of vivid memories, as well as the occipitotemporal, OCC, IPITOTEMPORAL, occipitotemporal cortex, or OTC for short, which processes visual clues. So we're not going to be strapping down criminals or drawing perfect reconstructions of crime scenes just yet. But researchers proved something very important. that they could correctly answer questions that describe the original faces seen by the groups hooked up to the fMRI. And guys, remember, this is only the beginning. And as this technology is evolving, it gets smarter and smarter at an exponential rate. So today, you know, it's like they showed us the DARPA robots in the DARPA Robotic Challenge version 1. Atlas kept tripping and falling over. And then they laid a bed of twinky circus music to make you laugh at, look at the dumb robots falling over. And I told you guys, don't fall for it, because they're way more advanced than that. And sure enough, just a few months later, bazing, Atlas 2.0 is introduced. And Atlas 2.0 looks like a pretty damn scary robot as he's turning doorknobs and marching across uneven terrain, unassisted, through the woods. They are pretty far along with this technology, and now with $6.3 billion infused into healthcare, with mental health being a big component, combating addictions as well, getting rid of that DSM and being able to diagnose mental disease on a spectrum, and terrorists being under every bed and in every closet. Fake news people being out there who are responsible now for what's going to happen in the future with Donald Trump as president. Yes, those people who won't believe science, that fake science we've been selling you for a long time, all funded. Actually, I read a study that they had looked at out of the UK, came out a couple weeks ago, about GMOs, and they found out more like 60% of all research into GMO was funded by dollars from the industry. Well, who would have thunk it? But they went even a step further to show that all their research that had been funded by the GMO industry, it was like 80% of it was favorable to the industry. Well, yeah, we could have told you that one. All right, so now we have all these technologies going on. They can read emotions. They can read your thoughts. They can suck your dreams. Scientists read dreams using brain scans. And this one was even from 2013 in Japan using an MRI. Now Yale neuroscientists can determine human intelligence through your brain scans as well. Do you feel like you were born to do something? Is there just a certain skill like playing an instrument or a sport or a certain subject like math, which you naturally excel in? Well, it might have to do with the way your brain is wired. Different people have different aptitudes, and repositories for these lie in different parts of the brain. And as scientists are learning more and more, in the connectome, told you there's a big connectome project going on as well, or the connections between regions. Now, if anyone remembers, in third grade or so, we took a test. Maybe it was fourth grade, maybe even fifth. We took a test. Maybe it was fifth grade. Back in the 1970s, to determine what we would be good at when we got older. There were all kinds of questions. I remember making little drawings while I was trying to take the test. It was multiple choice. And there were all these little pulleys and strings, having to figure out if you yanked something one way, what would happen. I remember that very distinctly. And I remember taking my pencil and bzz, 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 figuring out what would happen if we dropped a weight on one side. So when that test was done, it was about a week later, the teacher came out and we went around the room and she gave everybody their career that they would be good at when they got older based upon the standardized testing we'd taken the week before. Susie would make a good secretary. And Johnny would make a good doctor. And Jules would make a good mechanical engineer. And I remember the entire room bursting out in laughter. Everybody looking at me laughing. Feeling really bad about that. Because women weren't engineers back in the 1970s. But I gotta laugh now because I tell you what. I mean, I seriously, that test was right on. I have a mechanical brain, but how is this going to be in the future? So are they going to be able to scan brains of our children to determine what caste, what job, since there will be very few after the robots take most of them, that our children will be able to do in the future, whether or not they will be a criminal based upon their neuronal connections? Today, neuroscientists can determine one's intelligence through a brain scan, as sci-fi as that sounds. And not only that, it is only a matter of time before they are able to tell each individual's set of aptitudes and their shortcomings simply from scanning their brains. Researchers at Yale led the study, and they interpreted intelligence, in this case as abstract reasoning, also known as fluid intelligence. This is the ability to recognize patterns, solve problems, identify relationships as well, and fluid intelligence is known to be a consistent predictor of academic performance. Yet abstract reasoning is difficult to teach, and standardized tests often miss it. Again, they used an fMRI of 126 participants who all had stepped right up and checked their box to be one of the all of us in the Human Connectome Project. That project is a mapping of all the connections inside the brain to figure out how the wiring works so we can create a synthetic one and crack all of the secrets, determine your intellect, your emotions, and more. All right, guys, everybody have an awesome Wednesday. Have happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa.